And away we go. Scott Spears sitting in for Terry Tackett. This is the Pastor Spot on WWGH Radio. The Pastor Spot is a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. And now we turn it over to the host of the Pastor Spot, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well, Scott. And yourself?
Doing pretty good in these interesting times we live in.
Quite interesting. I know that, like everyone can say, there's one thing that everyone can say, and that's that 3 weeks ago, no one would have ever guessed that we could be where we are or something could happen this rapidly.
Well, that's been one of the effects of this whole thing is how quickly it happened. Boy, how quickly life can change.
It really can, and, you know, from a pastor's perspective, I talk all the time and I preach in messages that how quickly things can change. And sometimes people just sit there and say, yeah, but in their mind, yeah, but I'm going to keep going along. They're not going to change. And they do.
Oh,
they
man.
Change rapidly. And it's just amazing just the changes here at the church to what's gone on. First of all, I'll fill you in a little bit on our services, what we're doing. I mean, it's kind of difficult to do a service, right? but what we're doing is we're live streaming the service, and we're doing it on Community Christian Fellowship on the Facebook page, and that's how we're basically doing our service. We do have our song leader, Holly Cabez, coming in and leading music like we would in any service. We're having prayer request times that we mention and pray and then go into the service. You know, one thing that, well, there's a few things that obviously we can't do. We can't do communion and those kind of things. But we can still meet. You know, the church is a body of believers. It's not a building. It never has been. So the church body should not be affected. It's just that we're having to meet in a different way. And thankfully for technology, we actually can still meet.
Isn't that something, you know, we've had so many discussions about technology prior to this pandemic, which we're in right now. But one of the things that is keeping us connected is media. It's interesting.
Oh, it really is. And, you know, what's really interesting is that none of us, as this is kind of an interesting side effect, is none of us pastors rarely get to hear any of our colleagues preach. And now that they're all online, we can listen to our colleagues preach. We never could before, because we're in our own pulpit. But that's kind of a neat aspect on my end, just kind of on a personal note, that I'm able to do. It has been something that has brought us, in a lot of ways, closer together when we do talk to people. We want to hear from people. It's not like you're busy that, you know, the calls are difficult. It's that you want to check on people. You want to know how they are, you know, what their needs are. And one thing that we've been doing here is we are doing, during the week, people are diligently preparing things or things that are non-perishable. But on Fridays, we put together a what we call a perishable meal. I know last week we had, it was the best spaghetti. Had spaghetti and salad and a dinner roll, and we put those in to-go containers. And anyone in the prospect area of reach that called in prior to Friday at 6 o'clock, we had a meal prepared for them on Saturday at 5 o'clock. And then what they did was would meet us at the front door, and we would give them a meal, and they'd go. And any real shut-ins, Frank and I delivered meals to and got those to them. And we're going to do this for the foreseeable future until this is over with. And so if anyone's in the prospect area, I wish we could go beyond that, but we really can't. And I'll be honest with you, most if you look, most areas are doing something like this. So if you're in an area outside of our reach, you know, look online, get a hold of someone, they can probably direct you. But if you're in this area, call here at the church at 740-494-2222 before Friday, preferably, well, definitely before 6 o'clock on Friday, so we can get an accurate count. I think last week we had about 45 meals go out the door.
Mm.
So we don't know whether that's going to grow, how it's going to go, but we are prepared to take care of that. And, you know, the other thing, Scott, we have to watch while we're doing it is our own personal contact and where we go, how many people are here. It's really a job that you never think you're going to have to think about.
No, and it's been particularly of interest as today is the first day of the stay-at-home order. Now, first responders are still allowed to go out, and of course, the media, because we inform people, and that's what we're doing here, and hopefully calm people in a way. We're allowed to go out. Factories are allowed to stay open. We got confirmation, certain factories. Whirlpool is still open here in town, and it's because they fall under that criteria. Restaurants, grocery stores, obviously.
Stations.
Yeah, they're all. So it's interesting.
You didn't mention one though.
Which one?
We're still allowed to operate out of the church.
Absolutely, and it's very important.
We can't gather. I mean, as far as a gathering goes, we don't want to, for the sake of everyone. But as far as the ministry work that goes out of this church. That's still a very much a need.
Well, and the thing about all those places are, we do now have to think about what you just said, social distancing, washing our hands every 30 minutes with soap and water, which is still the best way, according to the health commissioner. It's, you know, we have to do some things, and that's okay, and we'll get through it.
Oh, I think so. Another thing that's going on here I will mention is that on the 4th of April, I got contacted by Jennifer Mahaffey yesterday, and she was putting together a bloodmobile drive that was going to be at the fire station here in town. And our fire board shut down the station to anyone except emergency personnel to even come in it. So what they needed was, they don't need to do the blood drive in here, but they needed access to a bathroom. So what we're doing is, on the 4th of April, from 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, they'll be doing a blood drive out in our lot beside us. I'm sure they'll have it set up where people are distanced and all that. You know, they're going to be very careful. You know, the Red Cross will be. But they will have access to our bathroom. And what we're going to do is they're going to come in a back door. We're going to partition the rest of the church off. Excuse me. And right by that back door is a bathroom. And we're going to allow them access to the bathroom if they need it, because they can't do this unless they have access to a bathroom. It's not that everybody comes is going to be going in the bathroom. It's not that at all. But they need access to one, so they're going to do it here. We're going to give them access to a bathroom. And as soon as everyone's done, that gives us a very small area to totally disinfect and clean. So that'll be on the 4th of April.
You know, one of the things that I want to talk with you, Pastor, about is this panic. Because as I said on Facebook yesterday, I never thought I would have to come on the airwave and say the words, stop buying toilet paper. But this has become a thing, and it's out of sheer panic at this particular point, because the grocery stores and department stores are staying open. They are still getting shipments. What do you say to people who are panicking at this point?
I'm glad you asked that, Scott, because this is something that is a result of lack of security, and that's where fear always comes from, is a lack of security, whether it's your personal safety, whether it's financial. It'll bring on this fear. Anytime you're not secure in where you are and who you are, you know, all kinds of things can cause fear. And from a pastor's standpoint and from a Christian standpoint, you know, I have not had a panic through this entire thing. And most of the people I know have not had any panic at all. And it's because we trust God for everything day to day. And he promises that he has us in his hand, that he'll take care of us. And we know that, you know what, we do the necessary things we should and trust God for the day to day. And the other thing that I think is that's very important is that when you draw close to God, it produces love, and it produces a love for your fellow man. And this hoarding has no love for a fellow man involved in it whatsoever. I've shared several times that at the beginning of this, when people were really raiding the stores, we stopped in at the Dollar General on a Saturday morning. I think it was It might have only been a week ago. This stuff's happened so fast. But anyway, Shirley and I needed to get a couple minor things for here at the church that we were out of when we were cleaning the church. And as I was coming out of the store, there was an elderly lady shuffling towards the door, and it just broke my heart because I had just been in that store, and I knew there was no milk, there was no toilet paper, there was no, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if she was coming for basic needs, you know, and this is heartbreaking. That's why I've encouraged people, you know, the elderly in our area, to call the church, and someone will take care of those things for you. I've even gone and picked up prescriptions for people. But it does show, Scott, that people are being so, it's all about them. It's not about other people. You don't say, you know, get out of my way, me first, in a situation like this. You share, and it's really kind of funny, being here at the church, talking to different people over the phone or whatnot. I have found out how many people in the church have been checking on other people. Hey, do you have toilet paper? Because I still got 12 rolls. I'll give you two or three. You know what I mean? And that's the way people that have a true relationship with God and depend on Him every day, that's how they act. That's how the Bible tells us to act. But when you don't have anything like that, and it's all about you, this is the panic that comes out. And, you know, it's sad to see. It's difficult to see, you know, that kind of behavior. Because especially the thing that really gets me, Scott, is I see people hoarding things like milk. You know, milk doesn't keep. And how much milk can you actually go through? And, you know, things of that nature. Can I read something this morning, Scott?
Yeah, go right ahead.
And some of this you guys will be very familiar with. And it's in John. And everybody knows John 3:16. But, you know, in knowing those passages, sometimes people never read what's before it or after it. And I want to do that just for a minute this morning. It says in John chapter 3, verse 12, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven except he who descended from heaven, and even the Son of Man who is in heaven. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up." In that phrase, Jesus is talking about, of course, being lifted up on the cross is what he's alluding to. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world that might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And you know what he talks about, those are the words of Jesus, and what he's saying in that, what he's talking about is the fact that, you know, Jesus didn't come here to set out a bunch of rules and condemn the world for all its wrong. The world already was doing its wrong, and he didn't come to condemn it. It was already condemned, and he came to save it. And I think that's such an important thing to understand. And as people accept that gift that Christ gave them, that he cleanses them from all sin, doesn't mean they're not going to do bad things. It doesn't mean, you know, we're people. We're fallen people that live in a world. But when we understand we live in this charity that God has forgiven us, then we're not going to sweat about those things every day. And we're going to want to learn more about him and draw closer to him. And I find, Scott, the more that I read the Word of God and the more my faith grows as I get older, the more I'm just secure in everything. Like, okay, this might happen, but if it does, I don't have that fear because I know God has total control of my life. There's nothing that's going to happen to me that he doesn't allow to happen. Now, some people might say, well, that's horrible because why does God allow this to happen and that to happen, the bad things? And the bad things are because we live in a fallen world, and this is what it is, you know. And God asks us to turn to him and trust him, and he'll carry us through. And the day that we draw our last breath, if we would die from something, is pandemic, you know. As I tell people, that last depressing, hard breath on earth is followed by a celestial breath, you know, with God, and this gives me hope. And I know that it's not going to give everyone hope because not everyone's going to believe and trust God. But I know that this is what gives me hope, and it gives all those hope that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why I see so many people. I have not seen in this church, I've not seen any panic. Even amongst the elderly people, they're being wise. They're staying home, but they're not panicked but I have seen panic. I've seen real panic out there. I'm sure you have too. And you know, if we come together and love one another and take care of one another, that's the way things are supposed to be. And I just wish more people could understand that and know that peace during this difficult time.
I was wondering, Pastor, if you could just run down a list of things you think people should do during this time, because I think it'd be good to have for people listening to know what are the important things to do.
Well, I think the important things to do, first and foremost, is first of all, to trust God every day and open the day and praying to Him and asking for your basic needs and thanking Him for sustaining you and your family around you. I think it's important to read the Word of God to build you up every day. Those kind of things, that would be first and foremost. I think the following thing that I would say is, please, please, listen to what they're telling you to do with the washing, with the cleaning, with the separation, you might say, I only have two or three people coming into my home. Where are those two or three people going when they leave your home? You know what I mean? And that's what they're trying to protect us from. I had someone say, when I told them that we weren't going to do church, I had someone say, well, you know, it would be a good example to people that if we kept the church open, that we were trusting God. And I said, no, it wouldn't be. That would be an example of us saying that we're not going to do what we've been asked to do. We're not going to do what's common sense, and we're not going to do what other people have to do. And that would make us look more like religious bigots than faithful people. You see where I'm coming from with that, Scott? Because the thing is, I do trust God, and He does sustain us, but He also gives us powers above us. And if we pray for our leaders, and if they give us common sense things to do, we need to follow what they're doing. If you're living across the street from me, Scott, and you have just lost you've just had to stay home, you're down to your last few pennies, and you've got little kids at home, and you don't know what you're going to do, and you see all these people massing into a church and gathering when you've lost your job because you can't gather, you're not going to look at those people as people of faith. You're going to look, you see what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why I say, you know, when we're asked to do something common sense-wise, we need to follow what that is. Christians are not immune to rules in society, and Christians are not immune to... And now, the truth of the matter is, the Bible also shows us and tells us that when we're asked to do things contrary to God's Word, yes, we are immune to that, and we need to stand firm against that. But when there's things that are common sense things that go on, we follow the rules and we do what we're supposed to. How would I feel if I kept church open and people came and one of our elderly got sick and died a week later? You don't think that half that person's family would have pointed a finger right at the church? Of course they would. So, and I would say even in this time of media, it's a great blessing that we can get out there on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and still get a message out. But, you know, even if we were in a time when we didn't have that, I'd be on horseback, Scott, checking on people. But my ministry wouldn't stop at all. It would just be the way in which it's done. And I think that we need to thank God and know that it's a great blessing that we can have social media and keep in contact with people. I've got one couple that comes to the church that does not use any social media at all, of any kind. They don't even have any media in their house, and it's not because they wouldn't, but they just don't. But anyway, they're having a difficult time because they're not being able to to see or hear anything. So, you know, it takes a special, you have to go, I don't want to use the word out of your way, but you have to go a little beyond so those people don't feel so isolated.
And that's the absolute truth. And it's interesting because in the age of social media, we certainly are using it for the good in this particular case. But as I talked to the mayor this morning, he was talking about how City Hall is being bombarded with calls because people are putting out news that isn't true. And that's,
isn't that sad?
Oh, awful.
There was a national news correspondent, and I'm not going to mention their name, that when this first started and for the first week or so, she really, really, I was watching it, and this is how I know it. I didn't see it on social media, and I haven't talked to anyone about it as far as that. You know, I haven't slandered her, let's put it that way. But she put out so much fear and pushed everything to the edge. I'm not going to say she lied, but she pushed everything to the ultimate edge of how worse it can be. And it was just a spirit of panic that she... But then I noticed that now she's completely reversed that. Evidently, her own people got on her and said, you know, we're causing panic out there. And you know, when people do that, I have heard some of the craziest stuff. You know, the National Guard, you know, the National Guard's there for a reason right now. And they're helping. Thank you for that. You know, a dear friend of mine that's a young man that grew up in this church, Cody Downing. Cody got out of the Navy a year or so ago and thought he was out. And, of course, you know, they're still in reserves for so long. And he's a corpsman, Navy corpsman, serves as a medic, basically, in the Navy. And he just got called back up. And, a matter of fact, tomorrow they're flying him out to the ship. And those are ships that they're planning on, to my understanding, and not from what he said, but from what I've read, some of our Navy ships are going to be coming in and docking as hospital ships. And he got called up, and he's gone. And that's something that I think he told me. He said, you know, I'm ready to go. He says, as long as I can help people, let's go. And praise God for that. My daughter-in-law, Holly, is working at Grady Memorial every day, you know, on her shifts. And, there's great concern amongst our healthcare workers just for the lack of PPE, you know, stuff to protect themselves. And is it going to be there? They're on the front lines, and those people have to go home to their kids. Our EMT personnel, our police, all the people that are having contact with a lot of different people for their health, have their own health to be concerned about and what they take home to their own family. And I know at my son's house it's been a little stressful. And I have not seen, other than at a distance to wave, I haven't seen my grandkids in a couple weeks now because of the extra risk she has at the hospital. They just shut their home down to everyone. And they don't come to mine. And thank them for that. I saw a post and I copied it. It was of nurses and doctors standing there holding holding signs. One said, "You know, we're here for your protection. Stay in your house for ours." And you know, that's a good point. You know, stay home. If you need to go to the store, make sure that you wipe yourself down thoroughly. Hands and whatnot, and it wouldn't hurt you to wear a mask or whatever you can put, cover your face with. Go in, buy what you need, and get out of there. But you know, the habit of going in the store every day just to grab a little something, that's gone. And I talked to a friend of mine that would stop in the gas station every day to get a cup of coffee. And I asked him, I said, do you realize how many people touch that door handle and how many people touch that coffee pot, you know, before you got a hold of either one? And we have to think of those things, Scott. But back to your question, which I've chased rabbits on since, but back to your question about what people should do. I think we covered the spiritual side, and I covered the keep yourself clean side. But I would tell people, please limit where you go and know where other people are going. Make sure that you get in this habit of washing, like you said, you know, every, what is it, 30 minutes?
I think so, yeah, 30 minutes.
Every 30 minutes, if you're out and about, you know, you know, wash your hands, keep your house clean. Try to stay as isolated as possible. Check on those, though, that you know. Check on neighbors. You know, you can drop something off on a neighbor's porch without going in and shaking their hand. And, you know, those things are very important. But get some exercise. Spend that extra time with your kids. Look, parents aren't always going to understand these school lessons, but I'm not sure, especially when it comes to Common Core math, even the teachers understand them. So don't sweat that stuff. It's all going to work out. My grandkids are doing well with all of their lessons and what they're doing, and actually there's a silver lining to all this, Scott. You know that. And that silver lining is we're doing something, maybe we're doing a reset that we've needed to do for a long time. And that's a reset of being in the home, sitting around a dinner table together, parents helping with schoolwork, you know, finding that family time again, not spending all that money that you just spend constantly because you're running constantly. Now, I know people in the food industry and retail industry don't want to hear that, but I would say that because, you know, they wanted to bounce back as quick as possible and want all that business again. But I really wonder when this is over if there's not going to be a lot of people that have said, you know what, this has been the best thing that's ever happened to our family. I think that we've found out that we can survive without sports. Isn't that amazing?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about this to me has been is that, you know, there are a little bit of complaining from people at home, but it's not huge. You know, we're doing just fine.
Oh, I think so. We are really doing well. I'll tell you, I've been in contact with my family, and I'm not seeing anything upsetting with where my grandkids are upset. You know, they've had time at home to get things done with mom and dad and clean and projects and family time, and it has just been with my daughter and her family last week, and it was Kelly's birthday. And we had gone over, Shirley and I, just to spend an evening with him. And John said to me, Kelly's husband, John said, he goes, you know what? He goes, we've been eating 2 hours earlier in the last 2 weeks. And it's because they're not running everywhere. They don't have eight different sports to run to and this to go to and that to go to. And they're actually staying at home and eating what we would call a normal time. And going to bed at an earlier time and rising up. You know, all these things are things that used to be normal in society. And I think that in a way we're coming back to a little bit of normalcy. Now, whether people will continue that when this is over, I don't know. But I think that it would be good for the family structure if an awful lot of them did. What do you think about that, Scott?
Well, it's fascinating because the big one that I have noticed are kids' sports because they're all gone right now. So
well, that's what I was speaking of mainly with sports,
yeah,
too, I think.
Yeah, and kids are at home. And it's interesting because, you know, parents aren't having to gas up the car as much because they don't have to run to practice and they don't have to make sure the kid is here and the kid is there and it's going till 7 o'clock, 7:30, back to school, homework, all this sort of thing. And it really is changing a dynamic of what was normal. Now, my question is like yours, when those things start up again, what will happen? But I don't know how soon we're going to start them up. So I think time will tell the tale on that one.
Yeah, time will tell the tale, and also, as you're kind of maybe alluding to, is the longevity of what we're in right now. They say that it takes 5 weeks to form a habit. And if this lasts 5-6 weeks, people are going to begin to form habits that are different from what they were. And when it comes back to going to some of that stuff, some of those parents are going to say, you know, this is real drudgery. I never realized how much it was before. Not that I have a problem with kids' sports. I think they're great. But I will be honest, I think they had gotten way out of hand. They had taken the family away from the dinner table together. They had taken the family. Kids going to bed so tired at night, they can't hold their eyes open. And they come home, they're trying to get their homework done, and they're beat. And, you know, it's just, you know, let's focus on the reality of our lives and start getting to know each other again. What a novel concept, Scott. You know, getting to know your children, Getting to know your parents, you know, with all the positives and the goals and the things that sports have done for people, they've also had some negative effect. And I'm not knocking anyone that loves sports and does them all the time, but I'm saying the negative effect. And we just talked about some of the negatives that are there. You know, another one that I think is a huge negative that no one ever talks about when it comes to youth sports is that when I was growing up, I know I'm a dinosaur. They're going, here he goes again. But all kids except for maybe a handful, played some kind of sports just for fun. You know, whether it was, you know, we get together in the neighborhood and go play in a school lot or a lot out back, or whether it was intramural stuff at school. But because of such tight organizational sports now, and teams starting in the early elementary years that are so pushed towards being the best, and you know, we have kids now that by the time they reach early middle school, if they're not good athletically, they're not making teams, and they walk away from athletics, and there's nothing left for them. We have a whole group of kids now that 40, 50 years ago would have been exercising and doing stuff all the way through high school and through life, even if they weren't that good, that now, because they're not good enough to make the first or second string, they're done with. There's nothing for them to do sports-wise. And I think that's been a huge problem. And now maybe some brothers and sisters are starting to throw catch in the yard with the less talented, and we're actually getting out and doing something again. Had you ever thought of that?
Well, it's interesting because I believe that's going to be one of those effects of what is going on now. I've noticed it with myself, and this seems silly, but, you know, normally my day is pretty full. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of my jobs have not stopped during this, but I do have a little more time in the afternoons than I was having with the school stopping. And what I've noticed is for some reason, now I will take like a little afternoon nap, where before that never would have happened because I would have been at the schools. Now, I don't think I felt tired when I was teaching, but it just has slowed the pace of life down, interestingly enough. And I wonder if that will be an effect of this as well.
You know, I pray that it is, because we have just spun ourselves into silliness. And I really believe that, and I include myself in that sometimes, but I think that this go, 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 go has gotten us to a point where we have trouble naturally relaxing. People go to bed at night and their minds are just full, and it's so hard to focus on one thing. You know, they say that if you do too many things, you can't do anything right. And we find ourselves sometimes doing so many things that we're just bouncing in and out of each one and not perfecting what we were at in the first place. I've been able to focus on, you know, more so, what is the true mission of the church? You know, that kind of a thing. You know, let's pull back and say, what should we really be doing? You know, the Bible says the mission of the church is to feed the orphans and widows. Guess what we're doing? And you know what I mean? And to seek the lost, and guess what we're doing? We can't do a lot of programs. Those are out. I mean, it just can't be done. And maybe we've programmed ourselves to death in a lot of things. I would rather see children stay home with mom and dad. And, you know, I saw a guy posted the other day that here he was sitting there reading Bible stories with his kids. Oh, what a wonderful thing. I bet he hadn't been able to do that in so, so long. Or it hadn't been a priority. But I'll be honest with you, I would rather see kids at home reading with their parents and learning and growing than coming into here to try to get 20 minutes of it, because everyone's running every direction when it comes to the, you know, like the evening stuff and whatnot. You know, parents are the best teachers. My sister, Patty, has been a kindergarten teacher, believe it or not. Oh, my word. I don't want to be wrong here. I think for probably about 45 years, I think, and still active with the kids and a kindergarten teacher. But she posted something that was interesting. She said, you know, she was praying for her parents and all the work they were doing with their kids, and wanted to be there for any of them, to help them any way that she could. But she said God never intended teachers to be or school teachers to be the children's basic frontline teachers. The teacher has always meant to be, biblically, the parent. The parents are the teachers. And we never think of that. But the parents truly are the ones that are supposed to teach everything to our children that they can. And, you know, the schools came and played to teach reading and writing and those things. But all the basic life skills and things were always taught by the parent. And she pointed that out. And I thought it was neat for a teacher to point that out, because sometimes even our teachers, sometimes because they've been forced in the position of parents not wanting to do any teaching, they've been forced to be the educator, the pseudo parent, or the surrogate parent, the surrogate psychologist, on and on it goes, because some of the kids don't get any of that. But I do know one thing positive I want to mention, where our backpacks are still going out, which is a great thing. They're going to be going out with the school lunches next week. Our kids are on spring break this week, which they were scheduled for that anyway. But we'll be going back again, and backpacks still going out to the kids and all that fun stuff. And that'd be great. You
know? Yeah, and you know something interesting about this whole thing, and this is just something that happens with time. There are generations where you say, okay, well, I remember that. That was something that I remember, and we got through it. And I think certainly the World War II generation had that with World War II, but also the Great Depression. I think people remembered the flu epidemic of 1918. I think certainly people remembered 9/11. But there was a generation, and I was starting to notice it. You know, it's 19 years since 9/11, and there's a whole generation of high school kids graduating. I think the first class last year that wasn't even alive when 9/11 happened. This will
and
be a thing.
Never,
yeah.
They've never seen true overwhelming panic.
Never.
Like, never seen that. And but on the other hand, Scott, I'll tell you what, a lot of these kids have seen unbelievable horror in their own homes that a lot of us don't see. And so many of these kids today really have it rough at home, and you know, if we're gonna really, we need to pray for all sorts of things, but we need to pray for the kids, that the school has been their salvation, the school has been their safe place, and they can't go there now because a lot of homes. We need to pray for those homes. A lot of these kids, you know, it's very difficult at home. I won't just pick on the drug epidemic, but that is a huge one. And there's a lot of things going on that is very difficult. And I know that it's a heavy burden on a lot of our school teachers' hearts right now, and our school aides and different people that know those kids and know that, you know, their home situation is really horrible, and right now they can't get away from it. And we really need to pray about that. And I'm going to say something else. You know, if you know of kids in a home situation like that, especially if you're family, I think that it is your obligation as a decent human being to do what you can to intervene to help those children. And don't, you know what I mean? Everybody wants to say, well, I know what goes on next door, but I want to keep a blind eye to it. It's none of my business. No, you know what? As decent human beings and as Americans, it is our business. And we need to reach out to those young people. I pray, Scott, that this time, we're talking about the effects of it and the long-term effects. I pray that this makes us a more compassionate people, and people that are willing to intervene for the sake of good, and to see that we need to have faith in our lives, and we need God back in our lives. And I pray more for the outcome of everything after this than I do for what's currently going on during it, if that makes any sense. I think that we have been given a chance for a huge reset button, and we need to push that thing and reset. Go ahead, Scott.
No, it definitely could. And I think one of the interesting things also is I think people are starting to get to know their neighbors because people are a little stir-crazy. They're at home, and their neighbors are at home. And a lot of times, the way people's work schedules are, they don't see their neighbors. Even in the summer, they don't because they work different shifts. Well, now, you know, later this week, especially when the weather gets a little nicer, people are going to be out in their front yards. Pay attention to yards and parks, which you are still allowed to go to later on this week when it gets to be 60 degrees.
Absolutely. And, you know, my sister messaged me from, you remember Laura, the one that was in the fire?
Yeah.
She messaged me the other day. She said something about, how crazy is this? She said, California shut down all of our parks. She said that was the one place that we of serenity that we could go to in all of this, and it wasn't even crowded. And then I talked to my other sister, Kathy, one of my other sisters. She's in North Carolina last night, and she told me that North Carolina shut down the parks and that her kids were just heartbroken because they love to hike, and there's so many hiking trails and stuff. They shut down the parks. So I'm saying this, if you're out there, Governor, I'm pleading to you, please, 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 and our Parks and Rec people, keep those parks open. People need them. They're not so close that they're in contact with each other. You know, if there's handrails and stuff that you walk on in trails, keep your hands off of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, you know, something of, or make sure you have wipes with you to keep yourself clean. But get out to those parks, and please, please, I beg you, state, don't shut them down.
No, and I really do believe that you are going to see, when the weather gets a little nicer later on this week, you are going to see people in their yards. You're going to see people cooking out. You're going to see people talking to each other in a greater number than has happened probably since maybe the early 1990s before the invention of social media.
I think you're right, and I think that'll be wonderful. You know, the summer goes by here, and I look out the window, and I don't hear kids screaming and yelling and, I mean, in a good way, and giggling and playing ball in the streets. And I know you shouldn't tell kids to play ball in the streets, but everyone always did. And actually, cars looked out for them because kids would have this curb as first base, this sewer plate as home plate. I know we always did. But, you know, you don't see that anymore. And we're not seeing the kids out and about. And we did so many crazy things that wasn't funny. We'd make golf carts out of four lawnmower wheels and a big board and two two-by-fours and pull people around on our bicycles. I mean, you just don't see that fun stuff anymore. And I think we need to see it. Maybe some of our stuff wasn't real safe, but I'll tell you a funny one real quick before we go off the air. My brother made a popcorn jet, and he had all these kids helping him do it, and it was going to make popcorn so fast that it was going to actually go into orbit. The popcorn was going to be the fuel system in it, and he actually had, you know, they were all believing it, and they were building it, and isn't that crazy? But I'd love to see more creativity in kids like that and out doing these stuff. And hey, before we get off the air, we're real close to going. How many minutes we got?
We got about a minute.
About a minute. Hey, our number here is 740-494-2222. We're also at prospectccf.com. Call me if you need anything, please. I'd be glad to talk to you. If you're in the Prospect area and you need a meal, please call and let us know before Friday evening. We're here for you, and we're at 209 East Water Street. If anybody has any supplies they'd like to drop off for meals or anything, non-perishables, they can sit them out front. If they have extra stuff, we could probably use them. But we're here for you, and we're praying for you. If you just want someone to pray for you, let us know. Scott, I'm going to use the remaining seconds we have here to tell you that I appreciate you. I'm praying for you, praying for everyone at the station. I thank you for this opportunity for us to get out there. I want you to be safe. You be healthy. Tell everyone hey, and God bless you all.
You too, Pastor, and we'll be in touch soon.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And I laughed, and the laugh was, you know, which was pretty much my bozo laugh, and my